eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reid, LPGA Tour winner and six-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel.
And Kira, we are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.
Ever wonder what it would be like to be mentored by today's top business leaders? My podcast, This Is Working, can help with that. Here's advice from Google CMO Lorraine Tuhill on how to treat AI like a partner.
I see AI as an incredible co-pilot. You may use different tools or toys to get the work done, but AI is just the latest flavor of that. You're still the judge of what good looks like.
I'm Dan Roth, LinkedIn's editor-in-chief. On my podcast, This Is Working, leaders share strategies for success. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Billen, everybody. Still to come this hour, Boxing Hall of Fame announcer Al Bernstein will join us, say a few words about the passing of George Foreman this weekend. We had Ernie Shavers once on a numbers game with me in studio at the South Point. It's just a great guy. And George Foreman, I mean, you know, he went from a guy that everyone feared as a heavyweight boxer to a cuddly second act as an older guy who got back into the ring. And we'll have Al put him into perspective here a little later on the show. George Foreman, who named all five of his sons George, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true as well? I believe that's a little note about George as well. And Drew Dinsick will join us momentarily. I just want to say this, Kelly. I want you to rate what is a more harrowing experience. I'll just give you a few options. Ready for this? Bungee jumping.
Okay.
Option two, being chased by a bear. Option three, getting a new iPhone and having your data transferred. Which do you think is the most harrowing experience of those three? The answer is number three.
No, it's definitely number one, bungee jumping. You'll never see me bungee jumping.
No, because it ends in like a few seconds. And then the bear stuff, you just have to outrun your friend, not the bear.
Yeah, but you didn't say I was with anybody. You just said I was by myself.
Oh, okay.
The bear should definitely be number one, actually, if we're doing this real.
I just want to say I got a new iPhone yesterday. I haven't had a new iPhone, and you got a new iPhone, too, day before. Isn't that adorable?
No, not the day before. We both did it yesterday.
Oh, you did it yesterday, too.
I just texted you as soon as I got mine set up. I was like, yo, bro, you should totally get this new phone thing.
You had a 10 and X or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I had. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had a new phone in 9 years. First of all, it's a hostage situation. You're there for hours. You were there for only 1 hour? I was there for hours.
I was in and out in an hour.
Oh, dude.
With everything set, where'd you go? I went to the AT&T store. instead of the Apple store.
Oh, no, I went to the Apple store.
Yeah, those geniuses haven't figured out how to manage sub 10 billion people in their store.
That's right. And I'm the guy who they're like, who's your carrier? What's your PIN number? I'm like, PIN number? I'm like, no.
Didn't I tell you this story?
I don't have that.
So I first went to the Apple store 2 weeks ago. I got far enough along that I was ready to get my new phone. The guy's like, oh, all right, and what's your PIN number? And I'm like, PIN number? AT&T's never once asked me for my PIN number.
Did you migrate? Did everything migrate over?
Yeah, it took a little while, but, you know.
I still got like 1,000 photos I haven't seen. And
just texts and photos that are still downloading. Everything else came over pretty quick.
Anyway. For those moments where you don't know if the stuff's going to get over there. And by the way, I think I'm backed up on the iCloud anyway, but I was so exhausted afterwards from the emotional spent. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm neurotic.
It was like a half a day. I had to reorganize apps and everything. Yeah.
Like my buddy Arash was like, hey, you want to go to dinner? I'm like, no, dude, I can't.
We got
to
go. Let's
get something after the show tomorrow. I'm too frazzled. I can't do this.
I had to skip the gym to set up my phone. Like that's the way I justified it.
I'm going to go with
our phones
iPhone.
Are important though in our life.
Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick is important in our lives as well. Mm-hmm. He's the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive, which he does with Andy Molitor, and Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. And of course, now, Dinsick Daily. That's not the name of the show? No, we're not going with that? Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Drew?
Doing well.
What are we calling your daily thing?
That's the Deep Dive Daily.
The Deep Dive Daily. There we go.
It's just we just dumped it right into the podcast feed for the Deep Dive, as opposed to trying to create a second one and get people to find it some way. It's just
gotcha.
That one just gets populated every day now. So
Drew, let me ask you this: Are you taking guest on guest questions? One of our regular guests has a question for you. His name is Christopher Felica. Are you familiar with his work?
Oh, yeah, of course. All yes. Right.
He says, can you kick around with Drew if Risa Shea can win Rookie of the Year? A couple people I know think he should. Kelly responded, need Castle to miss some time with his injury, in my opinion. Not dead, though. Your opinion is what?
I will be completely honest with you. The Rookie of the Year award does feel a little bit, it's how you finish and not how you start over the balance of, you know, the last handful of years. And we have certainly seen people finish strong and steal. What's the most obvious example, of course, and Kelly remembers this well, I'm sure, was the Scottie Barnes year the Raptors just into the close were just en fuego, and Barnes was the beneficiary of that, stealing that award. So I guess if you're inclined to take a price, I certainly like Risha Shea 14-1 more than I like Sar 8-1. I mean, Sar is just, he's been such a destructive player over the balance of the season to trying to, you know, winning efforts for the Wizards. I don't care how well he's playing right now. He is not the second choice in that market. It should be Risha Shea. If you're looking for long shot prices, that one's reasonable. But Castle to me right now is kind of in the 90-95% range.
All right. Castle minus 550, prohibitive favorite. Sort of commensurate with what Drew was talking about. And then we touched on Defensive Player of the Year a little earlier. We're now Draymond Green is your favorite. Does this have any rhyme or reason to it?
I think this is over. I think he wins.
And why?
Because the Mobley case was always a little fragile.
Agree with that.
Mobley didn't have the counting stats. He didn't have the advanced stats, and the Cavs don't have this all universe defense to really kind of lean on for as far as like why Mobley, right? Your question, well, how did Mobley get out to -300 if he had such a fragile case, Drew? Well, the answer, Gil, is there was a vacuum.
Yes.
Wemby goes down. Everybody's like, we need a new favorite. Who are 2 and 3? Mobley and JJJ. Oh, JJJ gets hurt. Oh, it's just Mobley then. And it's like, okay, well, that, you know, we kind of said that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some big numbers on Mobley because I was kicking, you know, literally just like, man, like, Spurs might shut Mobley down. Not because I knew that he had deep vein thrombosis, but because just Wemby, excuse me. I was like, they might shut Wemby down because they stink and they might want to save him for next year. And they might want to, you know, just, you know, kind of make sure that he doesn't, you know, something serious doesn't happen. And sure enough, it was out of the freaking clouds with the blood clots. But I'm holding a bunch of Mobley. I think it's dead. And the Draymond Green case is very straightforward. Like, you ask anyone who covers basketball, like, perennially, who are the best defensive players in the league, and they will tell you it's Wemby, Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green. And you look over the balance of, you know, the last 10 years, and Green's, you know, kind of his hardware, he has one defensive player of the year, despite being one of the most versatile and important defensive players of this generation. And I think people feel like, you know, given a last opportunity to square accounts and get him a second one is going to be very, very, very tempting for the people who, you know, kind of sit on the voting block for this award. And then even more than that, the fact that the Warriors are tickling a top 5 D rating as a team, like, that matters a ton, right? Like, when they flipped the Cavs as far as having a better over the season balance of the season defensive rating, like, that to me was like, oh, okay, so this is happening. Like, this is just going to go one way now. And they are now, you know, pretty close to ticking into the top 5. The Warriors, if you were curious, I would rate with high confidence as the fourth best team in the NBA right now.
I like it.
And as a Thunder backer, the team that I'm the least interested in seeing them run into, like, not even close.
Yep.
And even though there are, you know, they have some matchup advantages, I still don't want to see that. But whatever the case is, Green's, like, when people are coming up with their all defense, when they're coming up with their defensive player of the year ballot, like, it's not, you know, everybody has been shamed to just looking at rebound, steals, blocks. Right. Like, it's become more than that. And everybody's commentary is like, oh, yeah, you got to pick the brains of the skill coaches and the assistant coaches around the league, really kind of get a feel for who are they going out of their way to prepare for defensively. And a lot of them are saying Draymond Green is really the guy, you know, what the reality is, they're looking at the all-in-one advanced stats. They're sorting by defensive efficiency, and Draymond Green is always at the top.
All right,
so that's all there is to it.
Let me just make them, before we go to something else, let me just make the Michael Montesano case, because I'm picturing Montesano listening to this right now, ready to burst, ready for his head to explode off his body.
Since February 21st, Golden State, number one in defense, defensive rating, really? Outside of garbage time.
Okay, but for the year, it's OKC, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, OKC by margin.
Okay, by margin, right? And last year, right, we were told that Rudy Gobert has to be the defensive player of the year because he's the best defensive player on an otherwise, they didn't put this part out, on an otherwise stacked defensive team, right? There were other great defensive players on there as well. And so this is why betting NBA awards, I believe specifically, if I could just back up Montesano, is a particularly, it can be a fool's errand. Because the justification, and I'm not saying anything you're saying is wrong, Drew, and I'm a Warriors guy, so you're right. The squaring of the accounts comment, I think, resonates the most with me about Draymond as a career arc. But what we're talking about then is a different reason given every year for why someone should win this award, right? Because if we were doing it the Rudy Gobert way, well, one of those Thunder players ought to be the defensive player of the year. And maybe Mr. 150-1, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, actually ought to be that player if we're being consistent. But we're never going to be consistent with an award like this because we're just making it up as we go along, right?
Yes, but I also think there is actually there is a process that the majority goes through voting block. The voting block will go through this process. Basketball Reference, summary of the season, advanced ratings, D rating, sort by D rating. Okay, who's in the top 5? Okay. All right. I see these are the 5 best defenses. Now let's go to EPM, defensive efficiency. Who's in the top 5? Oh, Warriors and Draymond Green. Bam, that's my pick.
I don't hate it. I'm just making the other case. I'm just saying, if you're gonna bet awards, which is already a dicey thing, these might be the diciest of all of them, is all I'm saying. More with Drew. See if he has any tennis. NBA plays tonight. Drew Dinsett right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Eczema. isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile... grotesque...
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Brendan Patrick Hughes, host of Divine Intervention. This is a story about radical nuns in combat boots and wild-haired priests trading blows with J. Edgar Hoover in a hell-bent effort to sabotage a war.
J. Edgar Hoover was furious. Somebody violated the FBI, and he wanted to bring the Catholic left to its knees.
The FBI went around to all their neighbors and said to them, "Do you think these people are good Americans?"
It's got heists, tragedy, a trial of the century, and the goddamnedest love story you've ever heard.
I picked up the phone, and my thought was, this is the most important phone call I'll ever make in my life.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, Brendan, it was divine intervention.
Listen to Divine Intervention on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Betting Network.
Your bracket might be done, but the tournament is not. Neither are your chances to win. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 and turn tournament heartbreak into betting success with daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, full VSiN.com access with expert analysis and betting systems, plus our March Mania betting guide, your game plan for profitable plays. Don't let a busted bracket keep you from winning. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscriber, just $9.99, and let VSiN help you turn the madness into money. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from... Oh, talking about our thing. Well, first of all, Chris Heath, a lot of subjects we've talked about. We'll try to cover some of them here. He says, Chris Heath, for a few years in a row on sportsbook.ag, I would use the cash out option, our discussion about cash out options earlier, after betting a World Series future on a team like the A's or the Rays at a big number, and then after a hot start to the season, he presses the button, cash out. This was akin to when we were talking about the Carolina Panthers this year.
It was so great.
And they had they were like double digits to win the NFC South.
Like 100-1, right?
Yeah. Oh, maybe they were 100-1.
No, it was 100.
They won a game, and then people were like, oh, should we cash out? We were like, yes. Immediately.
Great bet, but cash out right
cash
now.
Cash out immediately. BP, futures bet. Kelly with a bunch of little kids in the dizzy bat contest equals Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick contest. That's a great comp. That's exactly right. Steve the Proxy talking about people that you admired who let you down. He says, I met Mike Tyson in 2014 at the Boxing Expo. I walk in a huge fan. I was friendly with the girls working his booth. I get pulled out of line and Tyson waves me over. He proceeds to threaten me for talking to a girl he has eyes on. Loved his crazy till I experienced it myself. Oh, man. Hashtag hypocrite, he says.
I think that last sentence is we can all relate to. We loved the crazy till we ran into it.
Three Jack H3131. iPhone buying tip 101. Just order your phone online, set it up yourself. Also, what type of bear would you be running from in that scenario? A grizzly, a polar, or a felica?
Well done.
Yeah, running from a felica is not a harrowing experience. I think you just make one jab step to the left and then you're gone. Mr. Postman 619, you're right about George naming all his sons George 1 through 5, I believe. He also named his daughter Georgina. Talked about George Foreman. Los Vegas 514, yo. Can you ask the great Al Bernstein if he owned a George Foreman grill? Did you own one as well? Just curious. I did at one point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Touchdown Jesus. Most harrowing experiences. Bungee jumping, being chased by a bear, iPhone data transfer, D, betting March Madness, or MLB full game unders. Matthew Mayberry. When did they announce the NBA awards? I can't find it stated anywhere. I've been trying to find it all morning. What's the answer to that question, Kelly Bidlin?
Oh, man.
Mr. NBA?
Start of the playoffs? We'll have to ask Drew on that.
Playoffs? You have one more awards thing for Drew before we can move on from this?
What's clutch player of the year, which I never thought I would have.
Talking about this again?
This much money invested in clutch player of the year. I don't want to bring that up. But Trae Young, has Brunson done enough? Drew, is this over? Like, are we just assuming it's done? He's done enough. He doesn't need to play here.
Did we lose?
But I think he will. I think he will play. I think he will play. Like, I don't think he's done enough, but I do think he will play. I think he wants to get to the 65 game threshold for his all NBA, qualification. Clutch does not require 65 games, but he's been the best. The case for him is pretty straightforward. If you're going to start using your social media clout to really campaign for Brunson Clutch Play of the Year, his clutch usage is it's truly insane. Like, I don't recall ever seeing a player getting this much usage in, at an end of game. And on top of just being the highest usage guy, he's a very efficient guy as well. So his case is strong, but it's not over yet, because right now, at least, Trae Young has more points scored. The real fun come from the clouds one, if you guys want. Something that's just absolutely insane.
We like the clouds.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Not in this market, though. Not really.
Not in this market.
No, not with Trae. I'm with you on Trae Young. Don't you have a bit of Trae Young?
I have Trae Young, too. You don't have Brunson? No. Oh, yeah, no. I think Trae Young, right? I think it's 50-50 between those two players. I'm against Jokic in that market. That's it. Because Jokic was like minus 120 at one point, which made zero sense. But the come from the clouds awards odds that I think is you got to start paying attention to. It's Mark Dagenaud for coach of the year. Yeah. This Thunder team is going to be 10 point favorites for every game remaining on their schedule, except maybe one of the two Lakers games. They are going to win 70. They are going to finish with a net rating that is in or around the ballpark of plus 13. You know, the last time that happened, Kelly?
When, Drew?
That's a trick question. It's never happened. It's never happened. In fact, we've never had a plus 12. And these guys are going to finish with a net rating of plus 13 and win 70 games. And we're really that sure that it's just going to go to the Cavs, who might be 8 games behind them? What's more impressive, a 62-win Cavs team or a 70-win Oklahoma City team that has the highest net rating ever recorded in basketball?
I'll say it again.
Largest point differential.
If they win 70, it's the third greatest record in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
With the biggest margin of victory.
Yeah.
It would be the most impressive team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do not think Coach of the Year is a wrap. And if you've been watching much of the Cavs play lately, like, I don't know how many more games they can afford to play that poorly and still kind of have this, this much support. And Bickerstaff being the second choice also is kind of funny to me because, like, the Pistons are very clearly going to be a six seed. It's very, very tough to the market is kind of treating this like NFL Coach of the Year, where the big surprise team gets the, gets the support here. It's never been that way. It's always been just the coach on the elite team gets it. When it comes to NBA, JJ Redick, third choice is hilarious. Ime Udoka, fourth choice is hilarious. Dagano at 200-1 can absolutely come from the clouds in this market, particularly if and when the Thunder, set high watermarks for the history of basketball.
2016 Warriors, 73-9, 1996 Bulls, 72-10. If they get to 70, these Thunder.
This is like Will bringing up Rutgers 200-1 to win the Big Ten tournament. You know how many people at home just heard Drew say that? And they're like, 200-1? No, of course. That's worth $10.
Except this makes sense, right? Rutgers kind of did, but because they had the two lottery picks.
That's all I needed to hear. I'm like, you tell me they got two lottery picks on the team. They're 200-1?
Bailey and Harper, but like... I just do feel I agree with the sentiment that Kenny Atkinson has been this fait accompli. He's the winner. Let's not ever talk about it again. But then there's this other guy.
I mean, I feel like for the past few months, a lot of people have brought that up, Drew. It's, hey, if they get to the 70 wins, they get into that range, you got to think about it. But the odds have just kept getting longer.
I keep bringing it up because it's this little detail that we just are sort of taking for granted. Yeah. Right, it's like they win 70. Like, it's historic. If
everybody's taking the futures market's taking this for granted.
Yeah,
for title equity. Like, and I know that the 73 win Warriors, they didn't win the title.
They didn't. Thanks for bringing that up.
They didn't.
But they didn't score the last 4 minutes and 40 seconds of game 7, but who's counting?
Yeah. Yes. Favorite bet of my life was the live under in that game going into the fourth quarter. I remember telling my friend I was sitting next to him, is like, the fourth quarter total should be like 39 points. And it was like 48 or something like that. And they turned the tap off.
I watched that at Jeff Ma's house. It was a morgue. I couldn't believe what we were watching.
Oh, man.
Like, what just happened?
Oh, no.
Any NBA plays tonight, real quick?
I got, speaking of your Warriors, I fired pretty heavily into them to win the Pacific Division yesterday. I quit. The Lakers are dead to me. This Lakers team is an absolute joke. That these back-to-back performances they've had since LeBron came back were embarrassing. And, the defensive, kind of expectation that they were going to fall apart has now manifest. I think that Curry plays tonight. I think the Warriors get a win in Miami, and I think they carry on as, again, the fourth best team in basketball. I think they carry on to get a home playoff series and win the Pacific. The other two games I played, I took the points, 8 points with Atlanta at Houston, and I am laying 10 with Oklahoma City at Sacramento.
There you go. Speaking of Miami, which you brought up earlier, tennis, any tennis today in Miami?
I have a bunch of stuff. I don't know if we have time to cover it all. I'll just say this, Miami has been so much more entertaining than I expected. The Fonseca Demon Hour match yesterday was just a chef's kiss, as good as it gets with tennis. The organic support that the Brazilian fans have for Fonseca is, I've never seen anything like it.
It's awesome.
It is unbelievable. The atmosphere they created in the Hard Rock yesterday. As far as tennis goes, I'm against Feists. I think Zverev comes through 2-0. I am on Mahach. I think he takes care of his countryman, Mensik. That one, I think I played Moneyline -130. I am on, there's one other, Musetti. I think Djokovic is in trouble. His performances have been brutally bad. And Musetti, of course, famously took him 5 sets into at 3 a.m. at Roland Garros last year. He can go toe-to-toe with the great.
Lorenzo Musetti against Novak Djokovic. The crowds in Miami have put the crowds at Indian Wells to shame. Let's put it that way. Weather has a factor in that, but still. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. Always bringing it right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Check him out at whale_capper on Twitter. Al Bernstein, the Hall of Famer, next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval. For all betting deposits, sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A Numbers Game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read a couple here real quick. This is from Forrest Lehman. Castle averaging 20 for the month. Risache 15. Bear is reaching. Drew grounded. Bear is reaching and Drew grounded. Is grounded what he wanted to say?
I don't know.
Anyway, he feels like it's Castle is what he's saying. And then C. Spackler, betting Jokic to win the MVP is the most frightening thing I've done lately. Yeah, I mean, do you think that? What do you think about MVP?
Oh, I think it's probably over.
In favor of?
SGA.
Because there felt like there was a little Jokic resurgence here.
Oh, there was, rightfully so, and there still should be. It still should be way closer than it's probably going to end up being, but him missing games here is not helping anything.
Now for something a little different. We are always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show. He is a Hall of Fame boxing broadcaster, and over the weekend, George Foreman passed away at the age of 76. I think a lot of us, our reaction was, wow, only 76. But a two-time world heavyweight champion, Olympic gold medalist. Of course, the namesake was brought up earlier on the show, the George Foreman Grill, among other things. Al Bernstein joins us now on the show, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Alan? Thanks so much for doing this.
I'm good, Gil. Nice to be with you.
We started talking about this off air, but I didn't really finish the thought, which is I think there's certain of us at a certain age who we were not quite old enough to experience Ali, mm-hmm. Frazier, and Foreman in their prime. Mm-hmm. Our knowledge of Zaire and the rope-a-dope and the rumble in the jungle there, it's all by highlights and footage. We are old enough to have experienced the entirely different version of George Foreman in his 40s, the cuddly version of George Foreman. And so in many ways, he's this unique figure. What does he mean to you? How would you put him in context?
Yeah, well, and my situation, even though I'm older than you and I was a fan when it happened, I was a fan of the Frazier, Ali, Foreman era. But I was not involved in, back then I was a newspaper editor in the Hard News. I was just a fan, but I wasn't covering boxing. But then the second time around for George Foreman, of course I was, and I announced about four or five of those matches when he had come back as he led up to a world championship. George Foreman holds a unique place in boxing history because he was able to have two very distinct acts as a heavyweight champion, both successful, obviously, in different ways. And the fact that he was able to reinvent himself at such a later age and come back and really be almost a different fighter and in theory a different person, though even when he was younger, he had that same sense of humor. But he just didn't show it to the public. But his place is a unique one. And for me personally, it's important because I was good friends with George. He wrote the foreword to my book, and we had a great relationship over the years.
Is there an equivalent to someone like him in any other sport where they had such a distinctive second act?
That's a good question.
I don't know that there is. You know, I'm curious if you think about this, because I was a huge fight fan growing up. I was more of a Ray Leonard, a Hearns Hagler Leonard mm-hmm. thing for me growing
sure.
up. Which you obviously you did the great call on the Hearns Hagler greatest 8 minutes of boxing ever fight. But when VSiN first started, I was mentioning earlier, I had Ernie Shavers on the show with me. He was 73 years old at the time. Couldn't have been any nicer. And Ernie Shavers was the only guy that folks thought punched harder than Foreman at that mm-hmm. level. Mm-hmm. And I always thought to myself, I'm like, wow, Ernie Shavers. And then I'd walk over to Planet Hollywood after the show, and Leon Spinks would be signing autographs when he was still mm-hmm. with us. And I just think to myself, it was that era, let alone George himself, is it as appreciated today as it should be?
Yeah, I think it is to a great extent. You know, I think people understand that was a I just appeared on there's a great documentary about Joe Frazier called I Am Joe Frazier, and I was privileged to be a part of it. And it concentrates on Joe, which was sorely needed because so often he did lived in Ali's shadow. But part of it has to do with that era. And I think that era was, and what made that era special is a point you made, like Leon Spinks came in right at the end of it, but there was Kenny Norton and Jerry Corey and Ernie Shavers and others, Laron Lyle. They had a whole cast of people, each one their own unique personality, each one very special as a fighter. And it was a unique and interesting time. And I just wrote an article I read a column for Ring Magazine, and I talked about this current era of heavyweights, and this current era has created about 9 years of excitement and fun for people, not comparing them necessarily, but that group was kind of legendary, and the three of them, you know, Foreman and Ali and Frazier were kind of the titular heads of all that, but the other people were really important too.
The run up, I'll leave you with this, the run up to the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire in 1974, when Ali went into the rope-a-dope and then just out of nowhere knocks down George mm-hmm. Foreman. George Foreman later has sort of a religious experience after losing to Jimmy Young, I guess, and then that's what caused him to retire. But heading into that Rumble in the Jungle, give us a sense of just how, what was the sentiment at the time, that Foreman was just going to destroy Ali, or was...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most everybody thought. And then when Ali started the fight and started to do that rope-a-dope, everyone was confident that he was going to get beat.
Yeah.
And here's the irony. If the old George Foreman had been presented, the older George Foreman, the one that came back, had been presented with that same Ali, he would have won the fight. Because the George Foreman that came back later, years later, had a phenomenal jab, was much more patient, and he would not have fallen for all that. And he was, and the older George Foreman, ironically, was better prepared to go longer in fights. So it was ironic. And George Foreman just, you know, I mean, he had one of the greatest chins in boxing. So the idea that he went down against Ali was purely from exhaustion and mental fatigue.
Yeah. You know, you make a great point, because then when he won the title in his mid-40s over Michael Moorer, Moorer was ahead on all the cards. But Foreman predicted before the fight, he goes, don't worry, in the 10th round, in the final round, he will stand in front of me and he will let me knock him out. His words. And that's exactly what happened. It's amazing.
I was with George Foreman. I think I was with ESPN at the time, and I'd done a story on him, and we were having dinner, and he looked at me, and it wasn't even like a, you know, sometimes you don't usually get to socialize like that and I didn't normally do that, but in this instance I did. And he looked at me, and I mean, with a clear, you know, he said something very similar to that, and it wasn't even in a public setting. And the way he said it to me convinced me too, you know, and I said, okay, you know, I mean, it was like he believed it, and it did happen.
Al, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's always great to talk boxing with you.
All right, take care. Go.
Al Bye-bye. Bernstein, a Hall of Fame boxing analyst who, by the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Al Bernstein, but among other things, again, was on the call for that Hagler-Hearns epic 8-minute battle in the 80s where Hagler, let's say, outlasted Hearns in the bloodiest of all 8 minutes you'll ever see in boxing. The thing about Foreman beating Moorer, though, and then the reason I wanted to have Al on too, and, you know, Foreman specifically, the fact that he had those two acts, I don't know what the equivalent is in another sport, and I don't know how to even properly convey to younger folks how amazing it was that he came back as an old man, let's mm-hmm. face old man in his 40s, right, at boxing, and just took down these young whippersnappers and won the title. And Jim Lampley tells the famous story, again, what I just mentioned, where he's like, don't worry, he'll stand in front of me and he'll let me knock him out. And sure enough, Moorer ahead on all cards. I don't know if he got arrogant, he got cocky. Michael Moorer was the heavyweight champ. He stood right in front of George in the final round He stood right in front of him, and all of a sudden, George caught him. And if George catches you, it's over. George used to do the thing when he was on the run-up to that heavyweight title, where he was beating an opponent badly. He would look at the ref, and in the middle of the fight, he would say, "Can you stop this? This is, like, literally in the middle." He was like, gentleman George, please stop this. So with Moore, he knocks him down, and it's, I'm getting chills thinking about this if you're into boxing, because Lampley, with the best call of his career, it happened because he had told George had told him that exact prediction, and it came to pass. It was amazing. George Foreman passing away at the age of 76. There is no equivalent. What a gentle giant he became after being a feared younger fighter back in the day. Kelly and I back. We'll look more at basketball. Kelly may have a better two in the NBA. We'll review all the bets everyone made on the show. I have three on tennis and beyond. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 mg/2 mL injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile... Grotesque...
Oh my God!
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We ready to fight? I'm ready to fight.
Is that?
I thought it was. Oh, this is fighting words. Okay, I'll put the hammer back.
Hi, I'm George M. Johnson, a best-selling author with the second most banned book in America. Now more than ever, we need to use our voices to fight back. And that's what we are doing on Fighting Words. We're not going to let anyone silence us.
That's the reason why they're banning books like yours, George. That's the reason why they're trying to stop the teaching of Black history, queer history, any history that challenges the whitewashed norm.
Or put us in a box.
Black people have never, ever depended on
the so-called mainstream to support us. That's why we are great. We are the greatest culture makers in world history.
Listen to Fighting Words on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. Un partido de números. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. If you haven't been to downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, it is a treat.
It's a good time.
It's a hootenanny is what it is.
Especially if you get tired of paying all those steep prices on the Strip.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Cheap cocktails.
Well, in a Circa.
Heavy pours.
We get tweets of beating the book. Jesse Welch. The pod that Drew has should be called the Deep Dive Daily with Daily Drew Dinsick. It's a good suggestion.
You can't cut out Andy.
You can't cut Andy out
Andy. Had a great story on the pod last week. I'm dying laughing. He's so smooth. You and I have talked about this. Like, he's one of those guys.
Very that's funny.
So funny, but like doesn't make a big deal out of it. He's talking about how his like 10-year-old kid was filling out a bracket. And with the play-in games going on, he filled out the bracket all the way to the finish, and he had American in the final four. And Andy had to explain to him, like, hey, you know, they had a play-in game, they lost, they can't make it. And he was like, well, why'd you have American go this far anyways? And like, just classic kid answer. He's like, well, that's where I'm from, Dad. Like, I was like, this is the greatest kid ever. Like, come on.
That's where I'm from, Dad. Evan Klein at Shasta LaFleur. You know your old phone can transfer data to the new phone on its own, Gil, right? You don't actually need to go into the store. Oh, you haven't met me before.
Yeah, this is why Gil set it up the way he did. Because he and I are both terrified about us screwing something up and how many important messages, phone contacts, also, pictures we have on our phones.
Also, Evan, I really appreciate your confidence in me.
Right. I need a professional standing by in case something goes wrong. I sat there. So by the time I was basically done, I said in and out under an hour. That's not fair. The guy was done with me under an hour. I sat there setting up as much as I wanted to set up, refusing to leave the store because I was like, what if I go all the way home and then this is screwed up or this is screwed up?
I'm just a notch above the guy who says, do I press continue? I'm a notch above that guy. SoCal Fantasy. I remember a basketball player having a pretty good second act. I think his name was Jordan, if I recall correctly. Well, no, you're right. Michael Jordan had a good second act in terms of his points per game. He had 20 points per game plus both his years with the Wizards. But 37 and 45 two straight years ain't exactly winning the heavyweight title, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I just keep rethinking of Maryland there. Sorry. Michael Jordan gets brought up. Phil Jackson. All right, guys, we're down to who's getting the ball? Who wants it here? Who wants it?
Bill Wennington's like me.
Yeah. All right, we're going to Kukoc, as always. Jordan,
Jim Shogren talking about guys you admire letting you down. He said, I was sitting at the Santa Anita race book in Vegas in the early 80s, and Larry Holmes walks in with his entourage. He was wearing his robe and was training down Las Vegas Boulevard. It was the damnedest thing you ever saw and something you would ever see today. Oh, no, that wasn't about people letting him down. That was just about the George Foreman thing. Larry Holmes, who was, what was Holmes, 49-0 or something before he lost to Tyson? Do I have that right, or did he lose to somebody before he lost?
This is one of those Gil questions that, like, it's definitely the right answer.
No, I don't know if it's the right answer.
Oh, really?
Let's, okay. I really don't know. I'm curious to know now. He was ultimately, what was his record? He was 69-6, but what was he, when was his first loss?
I'll try to find it. Okay. You keep going.
Let's, while you do that, I'll do the G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. Every host, every guest on each show recapped on the G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. I got 3 in tennis. Magda Linette plus 150 versus Jasmine Paolini in a ladies' quarter today. Brandon Nakashima, by the way, that price is nowhere near where it is. Although, again, let me just give you the sort of updated ones, because earlier on the show, these were all kind of dicey in terms of where they go. I give these out, again, for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, and we'll see if the old getting the good stuff at the CLV store actually manifests into wins. Lynette, who I had at plus 150 last night, she is now plus 142. So, yes, absolutely playable as she's sort of creeping back towards us. Then on the men's side, Nakashima plus 160 versus Grigor Dimitrov. That has already started, and I guess that's already started, and it's not going well for Nakashima early. What is the story here? We'll find out
what,
here.
What is going on at the Hard Rock Stadium where they're playing this tennis tournament? I'm looking at tennis players kicking around soccer balls and throwing a football around because, you know, there's so much empty space out there.
They're trying to be like Indian Wells. Nakashima lost the first set, so he's got work to do. Plus 160 was the preflop there. And Gael Monfils, plus 127 versus Sebastian Korda. Monfils is plus 122, so not quite as good, but still playable. Then I'm on Michigan, plus the 7.5 versus Auburn. You know how much my bet was respected? It's 8.5 when I looked at it last night. For the Wolverines.
Do you love that?
Oh, well, thanks. Michigan plus 8.5 now is the number in the Sweet 16 matchup with Auburn. Why am I not seeing that on the board right now? What am I missing? Oh, yeah, 8.5 currently. Will Hill came on the show. You don't have any today, Kelly? Nothing from you?
No, nothing. I was looking at the Hawks pretty heavily, though. I'll save that for when Drew Dinsick comes up.
Okay. Will Hill's on the BYU-Alabama over. 175, not high enough, he says. He joked, what's that number going to be, 180? Still 175, not high enough for me. Went over on BYU-Bama. And then he took Arkansas on the points. Calipari on the points versus Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. Two, the aforementioned, Paulie was just repeating stuff from before. Yeah. Drew Dinsick, he bet the Warriors to win the Pacific Division at 3-1. He's on the Hawks plus 8 versus the Rockets tonight, and he's laying the wood with the Thunder. Thunder minus 10 versus the Kings. In tennis, he's got Sasha Zverev to win 2-0, 2-love in terms of sets, 2-0 at even money versus Artur Fis. He's on Tomas Mihac versus Jakub Mensik at minus 130, and then he's going for the upset, Lorenzo Musetti, plus 250 versus the great one, Novak Djokovic.
I'll probably end up on the Hawks tonight. I was had that circled last night. Didn't want to bet it, though, because I had a feeling I might be able to get a better number than 8. It's sitting 8 pretty much across the board right now. There is an 8.5 out there at FanDuel and Boyd. I'm going to wait and see if any more 8.5s, maybe a 9 pop. I'll probably be in on Atlanta. Nothing big, though, for me this time of year, man. I know we've talked about that a bit, but just this stretch as we get towards the playoffs, it is tough to feel super confident on any of these sides.
And, of course, Larry Holmes lost both times to Michael Spinks before he lost to Tyson.
I was going to say 48.
48 and 0 before he lost to Michael Spinks. So, yeah, I wasn't right. Wasn't right at all. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, with all of our best bets every day. GBank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Kelly, yesterday we went through all the deets. Kids still say deets, by the way? All the details on March Madness, and we went through all, you know, the weekend stats and the trends that are still alive and the trends that were bucked. We went through commercials. We went through stupid announcer remarks. You know, we didn't touch on, because a lot of people still complain about this, and I am chief among them. The round of 32 television schedule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is one of the great crimes put upon the American viewing audience that there's ever been. So before, what was it? Before the 2024 season?
Oh, round of 32. I actually thought you were going to complain about this week.
No. Well, what's wrong with this week?
I mean, aren't they all close together? Like, I'd like to spread them out a little bit more.
Oh, they're not staggered quite the same way?
Yeah, they do that. Like, they do the one earlier window and then the two late window. So it's like 4 o'clock of 4:30 our time, and then it's 6:30 and 7 our time.
That doesn't bother me as much.
But yeah, I wish they'd just spread it out throughout the day more.
In addition to the fact that the portal is going to have us have less Cinderellas in future years, it's already started. Which is the essence of this event, right? March Madness is awesome because we have brackets and we have Survivor and all that stuff. I want to preface it by saying that. We still love it. It's the greatest event ever. But part of the essence of it, right? The essence, the Americana of it, is that you have these upsets. These upstart teams out of nowhere, 16 seeds and 15s, right? Having a shot. And I don't know that we're ever going to get that again with the portal, poaching players from mid-majors. The other thing that made it great was you had these, you had a schedule on Thursday, Friday, but particularly Saturday, Sunday, the round of 32, Saturday and Sunday, where you could see multiple fantastic finishes one after another. Let's go to Dayton, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, let's go to Omaha, where this is a game down to the last minute. And the agreement now, which runs through 2032, because it's not like that anymore, stipulates the same number of windows are provided to CBS as before, although unlike with the previous schedule where all games in a window started within 10 minutes of each other, resulting in the possibility of multiple close games ending at once, the start times of games now on CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV are staggered, with action lasting later in the night and fewer simultaneous games than in the previous format. The tournament's new TV deal will allow, this is their justification, will allow for more staggered starts of games so all of those buzzer beaters aren't happening at the same time. We want them to be happening at the same time. That's what makes it awesome. Instead of waking up Saturday morning and Sunday morning, and it's like, I've watched almost damn near three games in their entirety, and the rest of them haven't even started yet.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd never hear about broadcasting windows with the NCAA tournament the rest of my career. Oh. Ask Chris Felica about that one. Finding highlights for the NCAA tournament. It's really fun when you don't work for a CBS affiliate.
They ruined that, too. Stormy and Matt Brown next. Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Have you guys seen this new commercial from Stand Up to All Hate? It's basically Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady going back and forth with reasons that they hate each other. But then when you really listen to them, the reasons for the hate are just so stupid. I don't know. This commercial really got me. It's a strong reminder that hate in our country continues to be out of control. So join us at iHeart in standing up to it. If you see hate, speak up, call it out. Your voice is a powerful tool in this fight. You can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week, we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reed, LPGA Tour winner and six-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel.
And Kira, we are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.